morning, Texas. Here we are, program number 15 this morning. Welcome to the Cup of Goodness. We're going to find some more things that are very exciting. It's the goodness of God, not the severity of God. It's the goodness of God that will bring people to repentance. And that's what we're looking for this morning. So, I have in front of me notes upon notes and verses upon verses, which I know you know we do quite easily here. We're looking at judgment. Judgment. Oh, there's so much we could talk about judgment. We've got Old Testament judgment. We've got judgment of the brethren. We've got mixed up judgment from people coming out of Matthew. But we're not gonna do that. Let's just ask this question. Where is God's judgment today? I mean, look at what's going on around us. Look at what's going on in this world. Look at the lifestyle perversions. Look at what the music has turned to. Look at what's going on in the churches. Look at what's going on in the homes. Look at the disasters that families have fallen into. Look at the disasters that our kids have gone up into in this world. Look at the disasters of education. Look at what's being taught today. Just everything. Look at the government. Look what's happening to America. Every day it just gets worse and worse. Look at the economy. What is going on in this world? Well, we know what's going on. But is it God's judgment? Is that what it is? We've had hurricanes, we've had tornadoes, we've had people killed in situations in America where we didn't have them before. Oh, sure we did. We've had the Johnstown flood. You folks know about that. There's things that have happened that are worse than a lot of things that have happened today. What about all these odd earthquakes? Well, yeah. There are things that are happening more and more that we're not really used to. But are we talking about God's judgment? I remember when Katrina came by, the hurricane, and people said, oh, that's God's judgment on America. You know, because of certain lifestyles, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if that's God's judgment based on that to New Orleans, what about Las Vegas? What about Chicago? What about what's going on in the neighborhood stores? What's going on in different people's homes? Why is there no God's judgment there? So we have to step back here, look a little bit. Again, rightly dividing the word of truth is the key to this whole thing. So we go straight to whom? We go straight to Paul. And let's find out what Paul has to say to us Gentiles about the judgment of God. And I think you'll find this interesting, and as you go from day to day, you'll realize how important Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, where it talks about, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. How that by revelation he made known unto me all these different things that we've been talking about. So, this dispensation of grace. In every dispensation, from Noah all the way up, God's grace has existed. If it wasn't for God's grace, he would have shut this whole program down right at the end of the garden when that whole thing fell apart. But he's got his grace. But there's never been a dispensation, a time value, a time element, a time period, or whatever you want to call it, that has been just God's grace in one big basket. Everything in that buffet tastes great. It's the goodness of God. It's the grace of God that we're talking about here. Is it just for certain ones? Has God chosen? No. Let me show you some things here this morning. Again, we've got 25 minutes or so. Now I'm probably down to 21. And we're going to just take all these references I have here in front of me about grace, and let's just go to some basic ones. First of all, we started with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This is the time of God's grace. Now, does that mean everybody can do anything they want? Out that all things are lawful. Well, we did know that there were some strings attached. And those things where it says about all things are lawful, that's only referring to God's people. God's people being the Gentiles now. Well, does that still mean anything goes? Well, no and yes and no. We looked at the strings. But don't you wonder what's going on with God's judgment towards the world? Why has he not stepped up to the plate and taken care of the Middle East? What is going on over there? Where does that come from? We can talk about that someday. It's from Ishmael. We'll talk about that someday as well. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Just back a chapter there. And what we're going to do here is we're going to look at God's judgment to the Christian and to the lost person. And what you're going to find out is God is extending his grace to the entire world. Now, there are those that are saved, and there are those that are lost. That's one or the other, right? If we want to go to three of them, we have the Jews, we have the Gentiles, and then we have the Church of God. We got the Jews, got the Gentiles that are lost, and then you got the Gentiles that are saved. That's called the Church of God. But we're basically boiled it down to two. You got saved and lost. Have you ever noticed how many things so-called Christians get away with? Where is God's judgment? And as you look around in this world, or in your town, your community, in your neighborhood, even in your own family, do you see people that seem to be getting away with everything? Where's God's judgment? This is why so many people nowadays say, I don't think I believe in God because I'm just not seeing him. If he's there, he's just letting everything go. Well, yes and no. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and let's remind ourselves what a lost person is. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ. Now, that's what it was with us before we were saved, before Christ made us nigh by his blood, verse 13. So verse 12 describes a lost person to this day. Without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's a lost person. Now, a saved person, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, that was us, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So now Christ is stepping up to the Gentiles. Now, let's look at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. That's me, that's you. Not born again. Remember we talked about that? Quickened, made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. So, if you have not been quickened, then that person is dead in trespasses and sins. He hasn't received that operation in Colossians chapter 2. He is still dead in his sins. He's still attached to that flesh. He is dead like his body is. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, that's what it was before we were saved, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So if I'm saying something like, well then, this is the dispensation of grace, is everybody saved? No, because these people are still dead in trespasses and sins. They have not been quickened. They have not been made alive because they're dead. Okay. Romans chapter 8. Flip those pages back to Romans chapter 8. Okay, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, but walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, so if a person is not saved, then he's walking after the flesh. He is in the flesh. He has not Christ. He does not have Christ. If a person is saved, verse 9, if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you because you have your faith in Christ and you receive the faith of Christ, Then it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, so we have two positions here. Either you're in Christ, walking after the Spirit, or you're not. Go up to verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can do all the right things in the world, and if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've not put your faith in the risen Christ according to Paul's teachings, then you still can't please God because you're dead in sins. Your works are dirtied. And you are justified, we are justified by the faith of Christ, not by our works. Okay, so with that in mind, look at verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That's the lost person. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that's our flesh. That's our sins within our flesh. The sin that dwelleth in that Paul talks about. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, is this sound confusing? No. The question is, then if there's a difference, such a marked difference between a saved person and a lost person, again, what about the judgment of God? How does this all fit? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 1. And we have people today that they know the judgment of God, chapter 1, verse 32, but they deny it. Seriously, how can they know the judgment of God? Because if you read Romans chapter 1, which is another program, one of these mornings, nobody is without excuse. Nobody is without excuse. You mean, yes, it says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We will talk about that chapter at another date. That's a pretty rough chapter for people today. But what I want to make the point of is, in verse 3, these people today, says in verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, thou shalt escape the judgment of God? See, there's people that just, well, they don't want to believe in the judgment of God. It's not going to happen. Well, you would think God would really put the hammer down on them. Well, no, not really. Not yet. Now, the key is when I said, not yet. Now, for the Christian, for the saved person who have been quickened, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Now, remember that Paul, when his ministry is to the Gentiles, his ministry is to the Gentiles that need to hear about the risen Savior. And most of those people that he's talking to, if you look at the first verse or two of each book, he is talking to saved people. He's talking to those that are following him. Not imitating him, as Bible say, but following him. So when he says we, he's referring to saved people. I think that makes sense. Now he says in verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now that's the Christian. Things done in his body. Now remember, we are clean. We are quickened. But we still have to have what we've done in our body. Those things still have to be judged. But not us. This gives a little bit clearer description. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, remember, this is a dispensation of grace, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul's ministry is to help us, first of all, receive the risen Savior, and then to build upon that foundation. Remember, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's a marvelous way of saying it. I think the King James is magnificent. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Fantastic verse. Okay, here's the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Manifest means it'll be displayed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we don't have to worry about ourselves. We have to be concerned about our works. Romans chapter 7, if we choose to follow the sin that dwelleth in us, that stuff will burn. If we choose to follow the things that please God, that stuff will be rewarded. Now how do we know what pleases God and what doesn't? Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So the judgment seat of Christ, where it says, shall try every man's work of what sort it is, will be based on Paul's teachings. And Paul's teachings in Timothy and Titus especially show us how to please God. It's just that simple. If the things that we do don't please God based on Paul's teachings, then they will burn. Okay, so where is God's judgment today for the Christian? It's waiting for the judgment seat of Christ. Doesn't that make sense? Why would he put the hammer down on us right now when it's the works that will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? What's the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ if Christ is going to judge our works now and reward or punish, as people use the word? It just makes sense, doesn't it? It's coming. When we think that God approves everything that we do because he never stops us from doing it, well, that's bogus, because the works that we do, we will find out at the judgment seat of Christ if that was the right thing or not to do. Do we have to wait till then? Well, no. We just look to Paul's writings to find out if that's what pleases God or not. We don't have to be surprised at the judgment seat of Christ at all. We should head into the judgment seat of Christ knowing very well how we're going to do, based on our scripture studies, reading Paul's books, and especially 1 2 Timothy and Titus. That's sound doctrine, Titus chapter 2. What a chapter. Okay, so now, does that help explain the Christian? God's judgment is not going to come down hammering on the Christian because of what we're doing today. But it will happen during the judgment seat of Christ. And is he going to hammer down on us as a person? No, he's going to take our works and judge them. We're fine. We've been saved from God's wrath, which is what that would be if we weren't. Okay. Well, I can understand that. Well, what about the lost person? Does God's grace go towards a lost person? Well, let's go to Revelation. And let's see what's down the road here for them. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. And let's look at verse 11. Now, this is what we have called the white throne judgment. Why do you call it that? Well, because it says that right in verse 11. And the white throne judgment is not our judgment as a Christian. It is not the judgment of my works. It is the judgment of a lost person. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, than the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there we have the judgment for the lost person. Horrible time, when you think about it. Well, what about their judgment then today? Why are they getting away with so much? It's very simple, because God is waiting for their judgment day. This is the dispensation of grace. In the Old Testament, God would show up right at the spot and deal with it. That's the severity of God. But this is the dispensation of grace. This is what we're waiting on today. Are you just making this up? No. Let me show you here. In Romans chapter 2, and we'll finish it up with this morning. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, remember, this whole chapter 1 and chapter 2 is dealing with that person who's ignoring, rejecting the judgment of God. Talking to them here says, listen now, in verse 4, you're despising the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Why would you ignore that? But, he says, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself. God is storing. It says, treasurest up unto thyself, storing those earthly treasures, wrath against the day of wrath. There will come a day when these people's works will be judged, and they will find out that they were dead in their sins. But until then, God's grace, dispensation of grace, is waiting for the judgments. There is no judgment coming down from God today. It'll come down during the judgment seat of Christ for the Christian and his works, and it'll come down during the white throne judgment for the lost person. Now, what about the Jews? That's called tribulation. We'll deal with that later. But where is God's judgment today? He's just waiting for the moment when the judgment seat of Christ, he will judge our works, and he's waiting until the moment he will judge their works, the lost person, who will be dead in their sins. But we have been made alive. So God's judgment isn't out there yet. So it doesn't mean you're getting away with things. It just means that God's just waiting. It's kind of like if you were a parent. Haven't you ever seen your kids do something wrong? And you're watching them. And you could stop it, but you don't. But when they come into the house, well, Dad, how are you? And you say, did you have fun doing such and such? Well, how did you know about that? Well, I'm the dad, and I just know that. Now comes the time of judgment. That's the way it'll be. Only in our case, as Christians, it's our works that'll be judged. And in the case of a lost person, they will be judged because they will be attached to their works. They will be dead in their sins. There's just a quick little run-through about the judgment of God. Where is it today? Well, he's just storing it up, waiting until the day of judgment. So there are more things that we can talk about when it comes to judgment. If we get a basic understanding of the two judgments that we need to deal with, or a lost person or a saved person, then maybe all this other judgment talk will start to make sense. Especially when you hear some things that pastors are trying to scare people with the judgment of God and to fear God in that manner, and the severity of God going, taking you back to Matthew and the Gospels and Peter and things. We'll talk about that at another day. Just remember and try to teach other people the same thing. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That's what we're looking for. We're not trying to preach the fear of God as far as his judgment goes. It's a possibility. But what we need to realize is we're living in a dispensation of grace, and it's the goodness of God that would lead people to repentance. And it isn't because he's good to them. It's because of the things that he has done to them and for them. Not earthly blessings, but spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1. Fantastic things we can learn in this program. The goodness of God, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 9. Join us and we will keep going over these things. And it's just magnificent stuff to learn about from the scriptures, about the goodness of God.